Can I pray for you? Yeah. Okay, so God, thank you that we are all citizens of your one kingdom. And it doesn't matter what continent we're from or what peoples we're from or what gender we are, we can belong to you. We can belong to the Father because of Jesus. I thank you for Gertie and what a pillar she's been in my life and that she's been in this church and the heart that she's had for many, many years for people on the streets and that you blessed her, you gave her the opportunity to go to Kenya. Thank you, Jesus. And that we could be encouraged to hear some of the report today that all of this would not be to glorify this church or Gertie, but to glorify your name, Jesus, and to remind ourselves that you're doing great things all over the world and that the time is going to come when you're going to be returning and you're going to be bringing your church home. So thank you for Gertie and give her words and courage now. And we pray in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you.
Do you want a mic? You're going to stand here or you're going to go up front? Now you're worrying me. Okay, well, I'll get you a stand.
Good morning. Yeah, well, I'm scared. It's an amazing message and work that they're doing over there, and I don't want to botch it, so bear with me. But in Gong, Kenya, the ladies dress up. They wear their finest, and so today I'm wearing my finest African outfit. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks. Who said that? Stand up. Thanks. Yeah, I feel like I'm strangling myself here. A breath. But first of all, it's long overdue. I thank you for this congregation, for your prayers, for your support, for the gift that you gave and sent me over there with. So appreciate it. And you just stuck it in my hand, no questions asked, and trusting that the money that you gave would go to good work over there. And guarantee that it did. It really did. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I left here on the Sunday before with $2,000 in my pocket that you folks had given. And with the team, we put it together, and here's what we did. We had a party. We did. That was part of it. We were able to buy six sewing machines, brand new sewing machines for ladies, a baker oven, a charcoal baker oven for one of them. We were able to pay for the graduation for these ladies. After 18 months, they graduated from this program, and that was the party. This is my graduation outfit. So, we rented a marching band, big marching band, all dressed in red outfits and drums, and we rented caps and gowns for the ladies. We also were able to, we gave each lady a small sum to help build their business when they finished. We provided 1 year's health care for them, and their families. There was a bit left over to help them with a property that they had set aside. And at the end of the year, before that, I think now that they're able to move on to this property way up out of the slum. And there's a sponsor who will build these little brick houses for them. So what a difference for these ladies and their families. That's where the money went. And it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. And this is, we believe in positive living Kenya. And if I can, I'll just read. How long do I have? Hour and a half? So I'm just starting to breathe. Okay. No. Okay, living positive. I got glasses. I have to borrow Stan's. It's a nonprofit community-based organization, and it's based in Gong, the Gong district of Kejota County. A Living Positive's mission is to alleviate the suffering and reduce the stigma against poor women, orphans, and vulnerable children infected or affected by HIV and AIDS. Currently, there are 80 positive women and 120 orphans and vulnerable children in the program. Our mission is Living Positive. Kenya works to improve the physical, spiritual, and psychological health, as well as the socioeconomic status of women by training women with are infected or affected by HIV and AIDS through training and advocating for health rights, through home-based care, counseling, microfinancing, which is a huge, beautiful thing over there, and trade skills. Their home-based care, the program provides food and medical care and physical, social counseling, nursing support to those who are very ill and bedridden. This is provided at the women's homes until they recover and are well enough to join the support group sessions. Darn. Weekly seminars are provided by invited speakers who discuss issues pertaining to the women and to their needs and their the things they're going through. They have one-on-one groups and group counseling services every week. They have Bible studies, devotions in the morning. They have weekly peer support groups and therapy. And I think the therapy that I saw was laughter and dancing and singing. Amazing, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's medicine. And there's the WEEP, Women in Economic Empowerment Program. Women in this program receive ongoing skills training and tailoring, candle making, cooking, mosquito net making, just to name a few. In addition, the women receive microfinance and business training, which is really huge there, as well as a startup capital, allowing them to start their own small business. The training is 18 months, and after which the women will be considered graduates of the program. At this time, they have both the skills and the opportunity necessary to be independent. And there's a small gift shop. I'm sorry. Gift shop where they make beads or jewelry or clothing, and these things, items are sold, and the profits go to the women and their families. Lynn, are you close to the water tap? Thanks, hon. Then the Orphan and Vulnerable Children Program. Program for these children that are affected by the AIDS or infected or affected by AIDS or HIV, or living with a sick parent or orphaned, or living with an extended family member. And this program has sponsored 80 children and recruited 40 additional self-sponsored, which I believe means the kids have just come in from the slums, to attend an early childhood education development center and to enjoy a hot meal there daily. And also what they do, mom works hard to find sponsors to sponsor these children for school, for boarding school, because they're with a... Oh, thank you. Oh, boy, lots. Thanks. Thanks. Mm. In Jesus' name, thank you. Without an education there, these children don't have a hope. There's no hope. And as I watched the children there, I told some people, I said, this is the wealth of Kenya. These kids are your wealth, so look after them, and they are. So that said, that's the program. That's where the money went, and it was about 2 weeks left for us to be there, and I just felt I don't want to lose this experience. I don't want to go home and have same old, same old. I want to take this. So I had one afternoon I was able to write down my experience of the whole of being there. So, hey, Barry and Crystal, hi. So, if I have a little more time, good. I kept a journal, but this one day I sat and just went through my experience, and it's here somewhere. beginning week 6 of 7 weeks, Father, you've enlarged my heart. In this place of such poverty of material wealth, there is so much richness in spiritual wealth, and I so long to take this richness home with me. Ethan, Ingrid, and I landed here over 5 weeks ago and began this amazing journey 2 weeks before the others. We began with home visits with our ladies, and I couldn't get the there, but I got a picture of these ladies I'd like to pass around. And began our home visits with our ladies, Beatrice, Lydia, Ruth, Rishka, Felistra, Elizabeth, and Frida. They welcomed us into their very humble homes in the slums. They shared their stories of abuse, terrible abuse, abandonment, stigma, shame, pain, and such sickness. And they shared with such a gentle humility and welcomed us into their homes. I was so honored to be there and to sit with them and to hear the stories. And sharing also the road to God, to strength and joy and confidence, the road to living positive Kenya, of a caring community, of the support of other ladies, Mom, Mary, she was Mom to everyone there and to all of us. She was my sister, but anyway, and they showed so much courage and faith, and like I wish I had. We watched them as the rest of the team arrived, their hearts responsive to the love of us outsiders. They amazed me as they put their trust again in us to tell their stories once again, hoping they would help others and help the program to grow. We watched these beautiful ladies come to the center day after day, leaving their tiny shanties and walking a distance. Elizabeth, one of our girls, one of my friends, 7 miles to the center and 7 miles back home. I was so amazed at the discipline and determination these women had, that they had developed, and all because here at LPK they were loved, respected, and challenged to be all God has called them to be. For me, it was so comfortable to be there because of a sweet friendship I had formed with Mary. She's the founder and director of the program, Mary Mum. She's the heart that God has used and keeps on using to bring dignity to the ladies. Her love and a great sense of responsibility and a great sense of humor that brings laughter to any situation continues to encourage and move the ladies forward to succeed as they, in turn, encourage one another. And an amazing part of the program is as they begin to get well, get their feet under them, they, in turn, are given a list of maybe 10 to 20 children in their slum area that they're now responsible for. So they're getting well. As they're getting well, they're helping others get well. And it's just an ongoing way of life there. So, yeah, thanks. It's so, so inspiring. I can work here. It does work here. They would be responsible for watching out for these kids, going to their homes and checking on the moms, do they need help, and bringing a worker, an outreach worker, in to help these ladies, and really powerful. We watched as each one worked hard, learning to sew from the teacher, Antoine, and they created beautiful garments that we were able to purchase. This. Yeah, and my dress was able to purchase and bring home. We had the wonderful experience of watching and helping them prepare for their graduation after completing the 18-month program, where they've literally come from dying from their disease, and some of them were so terribly, terribly sick they couldn't get up. And Mary would just go in and pound into them, get up, you got to get, and day after day bring them into her home and whatever it took to get them up and get them well. Watching them prepare for the graduation, where they've literally come from dying from their disease and complications to strength and beauty and a deep faith in Jesus. Didn't have to preach the word there. It was just everywhere. They were on fire for him, and I was ministered to by them. Their deep faith in Jesus and his love for them and their families What an honor to help and to help share in helping them prepare for the graduation. We each had one of the ladies to take to for hairdressing, and it was so much fun to watch them get their hair washed, and just such a joy for them. It's such a, yeah, it was a very special day and a lot of fun. Everything turns into fun there. It's like, it's yeah, it's beautiful. And their dress is created by them for the day. Faces made beautiful, even more beautiful by two of our team. And the big day starts them all out with a grand marching band, all in red uniforms, looking so smart. They marched the girls, danced the girls, dressed in their graduation gowns and caps down through Gong with all eyes on them and the stigma of their disease gone. Yeah, lots of tears. The celebration was such great fun, dancing African style. So much fun. Sharing of gifts. We shared the machines and other gifts. They also brought gifts for us. It's so just a big sharing of gifts and food and laughter and dancing and all the children joining in. And the ladies glowed. So proud of their accomplishments. What a day. We watched and took part now as they face the challenge of leaving the program, prepared to do and build their businesses. They're scared, but determined. They're determined with God's help to live long. And they said that, to live long and provide for their families with their small roadside businesses. One girl said, she said, I can't wait. I can't wait till I'm old and have gray hair like you. And I can tell my grandchildren, you know, and they live with that hope. And they're still living with the AIDS virus, but they have that belief and trust in God. It's now the 23rd of July. They will be finished by the end of the month, and a new class will begin. I was really proud of our team, as each one was given the job of launching each of the ladies in their businesses. And they just showed this young team, they call themselves Love in Action, from the university in Calgary that my grandsons are involved in, yeah. And they had such a commitment and dedication and a lot of wisdom that I just didn't expect from these young gals and guys. But watching my grandsons was awesome. Ethan and Jared, as they launched their committed themselves to their assigned ladies and helping them with budgeting, buying, building. It was a lot. They made books for their businesses and helped them set up budgets and do the whole thing. And buying and building their little businesses. And they were almost ready to start. For myself, I basically found my joy there. Just being with the ladies, like being at the center and laughing and singing and worshiping all the time. Like African worship is awesome, and they sing in African, but a lot of the songs I would know, we just sing along together. And I got to chop and peel, do the stuff that I get to do here, and help provide the new meal. That there's always a hot new meal, made very simply but very nourishing. And over a charcoal burner on the floor, which was fun too. I think my richest experience were the home visits and opportunities to pray. The ladies always welcomed prayer and just to pray with them and for their families, for healing, for provision, and just trusting God to hear and answer. Times of joining in the support groups. Again, the singing, lots of singing, praying, teaching on health and financial and counseling. And these ladies have soaked up so much from the different teachers that have come in. I loved watching the joy they have in learning. It's also been so good to watch the ladies from previous classes as they come to mentor and encourage the new class. It's also just something that's so beautiful that happens, that these, the ones that we saw graduate, now become the mentors of the new group that came in. So it goes on, and they stay connected. Amazing committed staff there at the center. They were so welcoming and patient as we moved in and took up so much room. They're bright, intelligent, and very fun young women that love God, are committed to Him, to Jesus, and to committed to the women and to their commander chief, Mary Mom again. And the outreach workers, they work in such hard situations. They don't have vehicles, they don't have cars. And to get to their clients or the women they're caring for, they got to walk into the slums and then help them get out somehow. So it's not like social work here, really. It's a little bit different. yesterday we began home visits with Elizabeth, who was now a new candidate for the new class. We went in through a part of the slums, back into the slums, deep into the slums, and Elizabeth's home is backed onto a huge dump. The dumps are all over the place, but this was the biggest one that I've seen. It was, yeah, really, really big. And her home is backed onto that. It's with children and women and goats and pigs, and everybody trying to salvage something from that place. And, yeah, such poverty. We found Elizabeth on her bed in her tiny shanty made of whatever. She was very sick and was also in an accident that left her legs in bad shape. She was abandoned with her children by her husband, who is into the homemade alcohol and drugs. This is a story of so many of the women. She shared her story, has lived in the slums for many years. She shed tears as she shared of her daughters who have grown and are now teenagers and are following ways that aren't good. They now have babies and seem to have a hard future before them, which saddened her. But I was blessed by Elizabeth's strong faith, believes God is healing her legs, and she will be able to join a class. And I was really impressed by the way she's being supported by the outreach workers, committed to getting her to a hospital, to making sure she gets her meds and gets good, nutritious meals, and her looking after, watching over her young ones, making sure they're doing okay. I'm sure with her faith and determination, she will graduate one day too. I started this journey with the hope of learning, and I'm not disappointed. Dear Jesus, you are amazing. No matter where, I've discovered people, so much of the same. No matter what their culture, we all need you. We all need love. We all need to be loved. And we all need a purpose. And so now, as we make our way through the next 2 weeks, Father, may I never lose the wonder. And then the last day before we came home, we opened my lady's shop. It was called Blessed Dressmaking Shop. And she was the lady that had to walk 7 miles back and forth. And she so inspired me. But I just wrote a bit of that day. So proud of Elizabeth, the lady of great determination who has walked 14 miles for 18 months, 5 days a week, no matter how sick she was, to come to the class. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to share in her journey. And I committed to sponsoring her family for school. Today was so fun. Really, it was more sacred. Up there, away from the crowds. And so she's way up in the mountain. Still lives in a little shanty shack, but she's up out of the smoke and the dust and the crowds. But she walked. We were able to find her a little kiosk up there, and we got all shaped up and where she could work close to her home and wouldn't have to walk that far, because she was ready to set up her shop in the slums, which she would have been going back and forth that same distance. Helping her, this very strong, focused woman, to clean the little shack that's now her shop. We moved her machine table and material and set it all up. Elizabeth started, so it was so cute to see her in there and start sewing right immediately. And as Naomi and I made lunch on the side of the road and entertained the children, I felt the awesome feeling of sacredness, sitting in the sun, peeling and chopping for lunch and listening to some amazing worship that was going on and watching the children and curious, humble folks passing by, waving a greeting. And may I never lose my wonder. So thank you. Thank you for listening, and I hope I... I hope. Yeah, I hope you got a picture of what God's doing over there. And I'm hoping someday Mary, Mom's going to be able to come and visit. She really wants to. And she would really like to come and visit us. And there will be a video that the kids were doing. They were doing a documentary on the program. And so hopefully they'll have that done sometime. I also have a picture I want to pass around.
Yep.
Because I want you people to see these ladies as on their graduation day.
Well, let's pray.
Okay.
Before you do that. God, this is amazing. Thank you for your amazing God. And we just want to pray for this ministry. We want to pray for our friends in Kenya. We pray for people who struggle and suffer in ways that we know nothing about. People who are dealing with terrible illnesses and incredible poverty. And all we can say is, Lord, a lot of times we're so ungrateful and assuming that everything is going to continue the way it is and not very generous and pretty selfish. So convict our hearts, Lord, and help us to remember that your children live throughout this world. I thank you for Gertie and for the poignant way that she's been able to present this through her journals. We just would pray today, God, for an immense blessing on those women and on their mentorship and their discipling programs and their sewing machines and every single part of it that we've heard, Lord. We lift them up and ask for your special blessing on them in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you. I think that has to be the best $2,000 we've ever spent. You hear about, you know, houses that were built and people, you know, hundreds of people fed and sewing machines purchased, and you know, we could do a lot worse. I think we spent some money very well there. It's amazing what God can do with a couple loaves and a few fishes, right? I just felt led while listening to Gertie that we just bow our heads for just a couple minutes and think about what we have. And you know, we sometimes go into Thanksgiving weekend, which is a week away, and we spend an hour thanking God maybe, or maybe just a few minutes. So I'm just going to ask you this morning that you just prepare your hearts for grateful living, that it isn't just about a one day or a 1 hour gratitude, but just to think about what God has done and how good he is, and just quietly say thank you, Jesus. Father, we're just so thankful, and we pray that you will heighten that gratitude in our hearts this week, and even today that we can focus on you and your amazing grace. We just want to thank you today for the ability to worship you, for the freedom that we have, for the fact that there's almost always food on the table, there's food in the freezer, that you have given us so much here. Thank you, God. Thank you that you care about us. Most of all, we're just so thankful for that you love us, and that because of your love, Father, you sent your son, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for your blood and your sacrifice. Thank you that we are made right because of everything you did and not because of anything we've done. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. and that you're a God of restoration and hope. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be even more effective as we bring that message of hope and of assurance to the people around us, people that we work with, people downtown, people on the streets. Lord, I just pray that that message would be bold and that we'd be able to proclaim it. Thank you for your truth today. We just want to be grateful for the Word of God and how your Word just is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thank you that we know what your heart is and we know your mind because you've written it down and you have released and helped us to discover it through the Word of God. And thank you for our friends and for these people, for our church, for a community, for grace, and for the moving of your Spirit here. Lord, may we never lose our wonder. Just wondering at and in awe, wondering in awe at you and your creation and everything that you do. I pray that you'll bring it to mind this week, all that we have, and that in all things we give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I know that there's always a risk when we keep going back to the same passage, but I just need to do it at least one more time. And at least you can tell people, you know, we're not covering a lot of stuff, but we're going pretty deep with it. And that's sort of the idea here today. We want to keep reading from Joshua chapter 4, which is the story, amazing story of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River and entering the Promised Land. We looked last time at the idea of being priests, that the priests were told to stand in the middle of the Jordan. Anyone remember this? Just wave your hand, even if you don't, it'll make me feel better. Okay, so I know I'm crackling a little bit here. Let's not let that bug you, Stan. So the priests are in the middle of the Jordan, and all the people are crossing into the Promised Land, but God says to Joshua, make sure you tell the priests they need to stand there, they need to intercede, they need to carry the ark. So they're holding the ark while everyone's getting across the river on dry ground, by the way, which is really important. The ground was dry. Lord help me. Okay, so just from, first of all, from Peter, I'm going to read that again. That just gives us some New Testament perspective on us being priests. Someone actually texted me this week and said, I don't think I agree with that. I don't think we're priests. Well, we are. So there, that solves that argument. It was one of the... This is actually one of the main cries of the Reformation, is the priesthood of all believers. That we don't no longer, you don't need to go through a priest anymore to get to God. You are a priest. And we're told in Revelation, actually, Revelation 1 verse 5, that we are a kingdom of priests. So that's who we are. We're a kingdom of priests. And here's what it says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, remember we got our stone collection up here, our memorial, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, right? You are a holy priesthood to be offering spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God. Later on, verse 9, but you are a chosen people and you are a royal priesthood. Amen? That's good. Thank you, Lord. You know what all that really means is he's just saying, I'm including you. That's what God's saying. I'm including you. You got a role to play. You're ministers. Every single one. You know, every rock is just as important as the other one. And you have a role to play. And you can minister to each other. You can offer, each one of us, you can offer spiritual sacrifices for one another. And last week we kind of ended with that. That's where we are. We're the ones. We're the priests that are, you know, that are in the river. We're the priests praying. We're the priests ministering. We're the ones that should be offering spiritual sacrifices for our family members who don't know Jesus yet, or for those who are struggling or those who are hungry. Read this with me again then in Joshua chapter 4, verse 10. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side, while the people watched. Okay. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle. Those are just the 40,000 from those 2.5 tribes, and it's just the fighting men. There's many, many more than that, like I said last week. Probably 2 or 2.5 million people crossed the Jordan to get to the other side. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the Jordan, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. And as on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. Amen? The 10th day of the first month was when? You remember why that's important? Anyone remember? We talked about that last time. Because that was the day the Passover lamb was chosen. On the 10th day of the first month, the Passover lamb was chosen. That's the day they crossed over the Jordan. That's the day they settled in this little place called Gilgal. And it reminds us that there's a coming lamb to come. And that lamb is Jesus Christ. And that this is messianic, right? This is about salvation. This memorial is so that, and I'm going to grab this mic, okay, Chris, so that I don't have this thing.
That he came for the world. God so loved the world, right? And that there's a lamb that's going to be offered as soon as they got to, you know, they're going to celebrate Passover. Well, it's a reminder that there's a Lamb of God who comes. And that God, you know, in the picture, last week we painted this picture. In the picture, there's the Jordan River, and there's this big wall of water that doesn't get released until their feet cross on the other side. As soon as the last priest gets on the other side, the wall of water comes flooding back to where it originally was. And in that picture that we painted, there's in the mountains, there's all the tribes, all the other Canaanite tribes, all the other the people who are watching the Israelites coming. Because believe you me, they knew that the Israelites were coming. When you see 2.5 million people coming across the desert, you see it. There's a cloud of dust, and you can hear it. And there's people who've seen them who are reporting it. And they're going, guess what? All these crazy Hebrews are coming. And we don't know what they want. You know. So in the picture, we see them in the hills. They're watching what's going on. Believe me, the nations around are watching what God's doing. And they're seeing that the wall of water is there and that all the people of Israel are crossing on dry land. And that's us. If you look carefully, that's us standing in the river. Let's start off kind of where we ended up last week. That's us. That's you and me. You are priests. You are a royal priesthood. And you are the one standing in the river. We have the ability to offer spiritual sacrifices for each other, for our children maybe, for our husbands, maybe people who don't know the Lord. We can offer spiritual sacrifices. We can continually offer the Lamb. We can present Jesus. We can pray. Maybe that's the main thing. As priests, we are prayers. We're praying for the people. We're crying out to God. We're imploring God for his mercy. We're saying, God, do some great things. I know that one of the prayers that I'm hearing more and more from Christians, from you and from others, is God, it's just time for that revival. It's time for that breakthrough, like Cheryl talked about last week in her prophetic word. By the way, if you want a copy of that, there's someone on the table there. But you know, that's what it is when you're priests, is that you're in the middle of it. That's exactly what it is. Is you stay in the middle, God says. You're a priest, you stay in the middle and you stay together. You stay in the middle and you stay together. Well, how many of us? All of you. Okay? Just all of you. Just all of you stay there and intercede and pray and cry out to God until every single last one gets across on the other side. So if you want to know how long, how long, Lord? How long do we got to keep doing this? I don't know if you ever asked that question. I know I do sometimes. How long? How long is this going to be? How many more nights like this? How many more days of travail and of warfare and of terrible things and of colleges where kids are being killed, and where other parts in the world where Syrians are walking as refugees? How long, God? Do you ever get that, or is it just me? How long is this going to go on for? How much more pain? How much more brokenness? And the answer to that question is until it's over. You just stay there until, here's the answer, until the very last one. That's the answer. Until the very last one crosses over and is safe on the other side. That's how long. And just been impressed on me all week about how hard it is to be in that place as priests. So let's admit it today. It's not an easy place to be. If we're really taking that job seriously, if we're really wanting to be the priests that God wants us to be, and not just living through life, or our life doing what we want, but if we're really doing what God wants us to do, I'm going to tell you that being a priest, being that royal priesthood, is a hard place to be. Being in the middle of that river while everyone else is walking to the other side, that's a hard place to be. There's fear in that place. I know that fear doesn't come from God, but there's an enemy, and he sometimes just screams fear in my life, and probably he does it to some of you too. You're standing there in the river, and you know they saw that big wall. I'm just thinking what that must have been like. They're holding the ark, right? The priests, all of them, in the middle, holding the ark, and this wall of water, it's not growing smaller. It's getting bigger. Because the river keeps going. The current keeps coming. The water, it's getting bigger and bigger. And one guy's kind of whispering to the other guy, you know, this isn't going to last forever. This isn't looking good. She's going to blow. It's going to give, right? What should we do? Let's get out of here. No, we can't. We're staying here, right? It's a fearful thing sometimes to just serve the living God and to just be faithful. There's an enemy. They saw the enemies. They knew that the next thing was they had to go into Canaan. They had to take on the giants. The Amalekites were 7 feet tall, we're told. They're a big group of guys, and there's lots of them, right? So there's fear. You understand? When you're standing, I'm trying to say this, when you're standing in the river and you're praying for other people and you're being a royal priesthood and you're presenting Christ and you're imploring and pleading the blood of Jesus, fear is something you got to battle sometimes. Thank God that his perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. We just stand on that today. Even when that's hard. Yeah. Even when that's hard. Yeah. And another thing that happens when you're in the middle of the river is, I'm going to not be too long here, but another thing that happens when you're in the middle of the river is you get weary. And I'm just guessing, too, that those priests were really weary. It was not easy to be in the middle of that river. I mean, for one thing, just so you know, they just spent 40 years wandering through the desert. It wasn't easy to get to the river. They spent, and I don't know about you, but you spend lots of time just going around circles in the desert, and next thing you know, you're in the water, you're in the middle of it, and you're tired, just tired. And I don't know if you get tired. I know I get tired sometimes. You get weary of what's going on, maybe even weary of ourselves, weary of our own weakness and how we can be disappointingly consistent sometimes at stumbling. You get weary. You get tired of this. And I think that those priests knew that too. They got tired. It was hard. They carried the Ark of the Covenant, we're told. Most people think the Ark, because it was gilded with gold, weighed about 600 pounds, 615 pounds. There were four people. There were two poles, and four people carried it. That was a hard thing to carry, I'm guessing. 150, 160 pounds each on your shoulders. And probably the best thing would be if they just encourage each other. And they would, you know, because there weren't just four priests there, by the way. The priests were there, we're told. I don't know how many there were. Maybe 1,000. I know there are a number of them. And one thing that the priests did is they just took turns. So when one got tired carrying the pole, they'd say, hey, I'll take a turn. I'm ready. You know, and they would rotate and they would take their turns. And probably what they did, I'm hoping at least what they did, is they encouraged each other and they'd say to each other, man, you're doing a good job carrying the ark. It's nice and straight. You're doing a good job. You're doing an awesome job. Keep it up. Don't quit, right? Don't quit. I can't imagine what would be worse than when you're carrying this 160 pounds and you're really tired and someone looks at you and they go, really? You're tired already? And your end is lower than the other guy's. Can you please try to hold it up a little bit higher? You're not even level, you know. Well, I'm shorter than the other three guys. Well, I don't care. right? It's that encouragement that needs to come, right? We bear each other's burdens. We bear each other's burdens. We stand as priests. We stand as priests shoulder to shoulder. And if we're honest, we admit that sometimes, because we're weary, sometimes we might even lose our grip. For a little bit. You lose their grip. But there's another priest standing there ready to grab onto it and say, I'll carry this now for a while. Right? So it's not easy. It is not easy to be in the middle of the river. Sometimes it's a hard place to be, but it is exactly where Jesus wants you to be. And there's a weight also. You know, the weight of that ark is hard. It's hard to carry the righteousness that God's given us. It's always his righteousness, but sometimes it comes with a burden. It comes with a heaviness. It comes with a heaviness. And having said that, I guess I just want to also add to that, but thank God that Jesus is really the righteousness of God. And that what I can't carry, he absolutely can. Amen? And that here's really the point, is that there's really only one high priest. We might all be priests. Not might be. We are all priests. You're a royal priesthood. But there's only one high priest, and that high priest is Jesus Christ. Amen? There's one high priest. It's Jesus. And he is fully capable of carrying the weight. Fully capable. He can carry it. He can carry what we can't. And we don't even need to actually carry. Because he says, just come to me. All you who are weary and heavy burden, just come to me and lay it down. My yoke is easy. You be priest, but you don't need to carry the weight. Man, I don't know. We need to hear that today, right, Rick? You don't need to carry the weight. This isn't about you. It's not about how strong you are. It's not even about how strong the four of you are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It's about Jesus and that he is not weak. He is strong. He is fully able. I have my Bible, right, somewhere. I'm going to just read this from Hebrews chapter 7. This really is a great word. I want to just read it. Hebrews chapter 7, it says this. We have this high priest. His name is Jesus. And he meets our need. He's one who is holy and blameless. If you're looking it up, sorry, it's Hebrews 7:26. Jesus is holy and blameless and pure. He is set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Wow. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed, get this, he sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Amen. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak. You hear that again? I'm going to read it again. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. So, I know this is probably not rocket science, maybe nothing new, but it's just a reminder that I need to hear, maybe you need to hear today, that Jesus is strong enough. He is strong enough. He is the high priest, not a high priest. He is the high priest. He is seated at the right hand of God. He's seated. His work is done. He is seated, and he can handle whatever he needs to handle in your life or in my life. We are priests who, because of privilege, we are allowed to minister along with him. He includes us as his church. He says, I want you to care for each other. I want you to love each other. I want you to feed the poor. I want you to pray for your children and for people who are lost. I want you to work with people out there who don't know me. You are my priests. You're the priesthood, the royal priesthood. But don't make any mistake. There's only one sacrificial lamb, and that sacrificial lamb is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And then I'm going to end with this. And this is sort of, so this is the next part of the picture. And I want you to just try to just listen. Close your eyes as you hear these words. So this is, as everyone comes out of the river, everyone's coming out of the river, this is what happens. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. It almost says it three times, right? First God says, and he commands Joshua, he says, Joshua, I command you to tell them to come out of the Jordan. So Joshua, second thing, he commands the people to come up out of the Jordan. And the third thing is they come up out of the Jordan. So it's told three times in like one little sentence here, right? And it's always commanding. I think that's really important. God doesn't say, Joshua, I want you to recommend to the people, you know, recommend or suggest or beckon the priests now. Give them the signal they can come out. No. He says, command them. And so Joshua is exactly obedient to God. He doesn't just recommend or suggest or tell. He says, get out now, right? Come up. This is an imperative. If you read it in Hebrew, this is an imperative. It's a command. Come up out of the water. And they came up out of the water. And I want to leave you with this picture. I want to leave you with this picture this morning that there's a day coming, oh, you faithful royal priesthood. There is a day coming, oh, you faithful royal priesthood, you prayer warriors, you who are imploring and are crying out to God. There is a day coming when you who are standing now with all the other priests carrying each other's burdens and holding up the righteousness and the holiness of God, there is a day coming when the Lord God himself, when the Lord Jesus will descend in the clouds and he will come with a command. Amen. He will come with a command. There's a day coming when Jesus will himself come and will command. And he'll come with a shout, but it will be a command. And that command, and I said this last week, and I think maybe I was wrong. I said, I don't know what he's going to command. I said, well, I think he's going to just say enough. Remember that? I've been rethinking that. I think what he's going to do, he's going to come, Lord Jesus, he's going to come, and he's not going to just say enough. He's going to say, now, come up out of the river. Right? Yeah. Come up. Now, come on up. It'll come with a command. Jesus is coming with a command on his lips. Come on up. For those who are faithful, for the priests who strove for obedience, and even though we don't ever reach the goal. We're never the righteousness that we need to be except for Jesus. This is a great encouragement. He says, there's going to be a day when you will no longer be in the middle of that river, and I'm going to call you home. Amen. I believe that happened for Fabian this week. He was outside early in the morning, probably just bringing some garbage away. Walking from his front door to the back on a little sidewalk, and there was a command. You know, it's time for you to come up out of the river. And you don't need to worry about those kids. I'll take care of them. And there'll be a day for all of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm so ready for that. When I'm afraid, he's never afraid. When fear grips my life, I need to be reminded that he is perfect love. And he overcomes whatever it is that's fearful. When I'm weary, or when you're weary, he says, let me replenish you. You just keep standing there in the middle of the river. You hold on. Hold on. Get a good grip. But I'm going to replenish you. I'm going to give you strength. Do not grow weary in doing good. He says, don't grow weary. Don't get cynical. Don't be filled with self-pity. All that stuff isn't from me. Don't quit on what you're doing to try to stay clean. Don't stop praying for your children. Don't think that you're carrying this weight all by yourself. If you really saw the picture that someone might paint someday, if you really saw this picture, it would really look like this, that
You think you're carrying on those four poles. You think you're carrying all this weight, but there's the hand of God. And the hand of God is underneath that 615-pound ark. He says, I've been carrying this weight all along. You just got the poles, buddy. You just got the poles. Amen? So, Lord, just we need you. Just like we sang today, we need you so much. And we are so looking forward to the day when you're going to come. You're going to redeem us. You're going to save us from this world and from temptation. And you're even going to save us from ourselves. Much of the weariness that's in our lives is just due to us. And we confess that too today. We need you, Jesus. And you are my great high priest. You are the most high God. And you have all the strength. You are all powerful. I just thank you for that, God. I pray, God, that you would find us faithful and together in the middle, on the dry ground, waiting until the last shoe, the last foot has crossed over. Find us faithful. And pick us up. God, today, there's a lot of us, there's different things that we need from you. We have stuff we're struggling with. There's things that are broken in our lives. Some things are just plain hard, and maybe they've been plain hard for a long, long time. We want to hear your voice, that we need to just come to you. All who are weary, anyone who's heavy burdened, just come to me, and I will give you rest. And that we take your yoke, and you take your yoke, and that we put the burden there, God. And that you are fully able to do so. Not only that, you want to do it. You're willing to do it. Thank you, Jesus. And we will wait the day when you come with a command. Thank you, God. Amen. We're going to end today. I'm going to just sing a medley of two songs. And I just encourage you, if you you just need to lay something down today. Let's leave it at that. Just real simple. If you've got something you need to lay down, I want you to just come to the front, and you can find your place by the rocks or find your place somewhere else. But if there's something that God's been speaking and God's been working in your heart, there's something you need to lay down. I encourage you to do it today. All of us. Lay it down. Don't carry it anymore.
We stand up. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Do that again. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Jesus, give me Jesus.
Come on to the front.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can't have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Upon you and be gracious to you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. God give you his shalom. God give you his peace today. Because soon, soon, you're going to hear the command.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen.
In the morning, when I rise. In the morning, when I rise. In the morning, when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Come to die, give me Jesus.